Pickaxe.
If you like to eat stress-free and healthy, like me, you can do it this spring with Factor. They have delicious, ready-to-eat meals, everyone is fresh, never frozen, and chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 different options, including popular ones such as Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or like me, vegan and veggie. There are more than 60 add-ons you can discover every week, such as breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. If you're looking for gourmet options, there are meals that have premium ingredients, such as filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini and asparagus. And they are no fuss, no mess. Factor eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking and cleaning up. Simply heat and enjoy the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can pause or reschedule deliveries at any time. Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. This month, we're celebrating Earth Day. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So head on over to factormeals.com/pickaxe50 and you can use code PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your second box. That's PICKAXE50 at factormeals.com/PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is going. Check it out.
Hey all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
All right. Hello. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Pitch, Please.
Right. Hello.
the podcast where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry about that. Tom is with me, as always.
Hello. Tom. That's me. I am Tom, and I am Idea Hole Man.
Idea Hole resident Pitch Goblin.
Pitch Goblin.
Yeah.
Make my game.
We've got three devs. One of them, as always, is Chris.
Hello, I'm Chris Yules, Brunch Club developer and retired botanist.
Retired botanist. What? Sure. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Also have James of Drink More Club.
Hello, I'm James. If you can't tell who is speaking, listen to me saying like a lot and you'll know it's me talking.
Oh, do you say like a lot? I never
Apparently
spotted.
I do. I listen back and I'm like, oh no, that's my voice.
Oh, it's okay. Like it's fine. It's like fine.
It could be worse takes to have. Much worse.
You know, like
to shout penis.
Yeah. And finally, we are also joined by
Ruta. Hello, I'm Ruta from and I help you to make the landlord super.
Did you forget the name of the game?
No, I was thinking what to say. But yeah, I'm another half of Landlord Super.
Perfect. Hello.
Well, that's all of us. That's pretty. For some reason, it feels like less of us. I don't know why it feels like less of us this week. Do we have more in before?
Don't be so mean always, to Ruta.
I think it's I just feel like it's colder in the room.
Maybe it's colder.
It's just colder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so the way this works is Tom, 90% of the time, Tom, comes up with an idea for a game. Not necessarily a good idea. Not a bad
Tom.
Idea.
pitches
it, and then we all figure out if we can make it. If it can't be made, if it's good, if it's terrible.
I mean, most of the time, everyone just says they would make it. And so far, I've seen no results.
Sure that's true?
we've seen a result, right?
Oh, we did see a result. A fan made a version of John Quick Card Slinger, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
Jason Statham's card fumbler.
Yeah, he made a game and changed the character. I think it's so he can avoid our lawyers. Because we would we would come down on him.
We
hard.
Own the rights to the facial lookalike name and, you know, all IP of John Quick
Cardslinger
and Keanu Reeves lookalike.
Yeah. So thank you for doing that. And also, if there are ideas, then send them forward to our Twitter, Pitch Please Pod. Pitch yeah. Please without the vowels, but pod with the vowels.
Otherwise, so it sounds like police department.
Pitch Please PD.
At Pitch Please Pod.
Yeah.
So send some ideas through. We'd love to do another community episode because that was really fun. Anyway, yeah. Do you want to hear my today's episode?
Episode. Let me climb in your hole.
Climb in. Climb deep. Anyone? Everyone?
It's warm.
Everyone, line up. Jump in.
Head first.
So today's one starts with a story from a conversation that me and Alex had not that long ago. And it's me revealing some of Alex's deepest, darkest secrets.
Okay.
And it was a story that he was telling me about.
He never actually learnt the blade.
He never owned a hat.
If I start this story by saying that you were going to the toilet, would that rehash your memory of
this
story?
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Okay,
yeah.
So tell the story.
It's in the McDonald's.
Right, so I feel like I'm not the only one who gets this, but whenever...
You're not, because I do as well.
Okay, so whenever you're going to the bathroom... And you're about to do a wee. you get like just before it happens, I suddenly get like, is it like the second it's about to happen or the instant, the frame?
Okay, maybe I don't get this, but carry on.
I suddenly have a worry that what if I'm asleep and I'm about to wake up and I've actually just wet the bed?
Why have I already heard this story? I think we might have spoke about this before.
We might have done. He shares his story quite openly.
I open conversations with it. It's my
nice to meet you. I also am scared about pissing myself.
It doesn't happen every time, but I just feel like... I'd say it's probably about a third of the time. If I'm not thinking about anything, if I'm
so
not distracted.
I don't get it a third of the time, but I've definitely had it before where I'm like... if not necessarily just going to the toilet. I'm just kind of like, am I actually here, like right now? Am I... actually recording a podcast or am I in my room just talking to a wall? Have I just forgotten where I am?
A padded room.
Suddenly like I've just got this hyperactive imagination where I'm like, not even is this a dream. It's like, am I imagining where I am? Sometimes if I'm like walking down the road, like most of the time I get it when I'm like walking to work.
Right.
And I like just think like, am I walking to work or am I... just like laying in my bed, just moving my legs
exactly.
back and forth.
It's the same, it's the same thing. It's like suddenly that fear that you've just become stuck inside your imagination.
Yeah. And I get like this disassociative kind of, I don't know if that's the right word, but I'm just kind of like, am I actually right here right now? I suppose it's the same as like when kids get the dream of like, you know, going to school without their trousers on. Like somehow they've just forgotten to put their trousers on, right?
Yeah.
That's a common nightmare, right?
So sometimes I have this as well. Like it's a similar thing. If I walk into the office or if I'm just about to talk to someone and I'll suddenly think, am I doing something really, have I forgotten to put clothes on?
Oh my
I'm not going to realize until I'm talking to them. And or just something really strange. Like, did I just shave my head in the morning and I forgot? Like, just weird stuff.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know why, but that just pops into my head.
Before we get to Chris, because he's got a very confused, disgusted look on his face. James, do you get this?
No. I mean, I must say, I don't know about the being trapped in your imagination, but I do sometimes worry that I've missed a step.
Okay.
So, like, imagine getting in the shower and you've forgotten to take your trousers off and you'd be like, I get it quite often where I've, have I washed my hair? Have I washed my hair in the morning? And I'll just do it again, you know.
Okay.
So,
like, brush
your teeth. I feel like I have it like other way around.
Too many steps.
No.
Oh no, like, I've got too many clothes on.
Like, I haven't pissed myself.
You do wet the bed.
If I have like a bad dream, like a nightmare, and then I realize, oh, it's just a dream in my dream. And sometimes,
you have the waking memory of your dream. So you
I realize that it's a dream in the dream. Or sometimes, like,
That's lucid dreaming, lucid isn't it? That's quite a rare skill.
Well, that's when you can control it.
Sometimes, yeah. I remember that one time it was like, I realized that it's a dream because my phone was in different color. And it was a sign for me, okay, that's a dream. So I started doing whatever I wanted in that dream.
Right, okay.
That would terrify me, I think, if you're getting to the point where you're not sure if you're in a dream or not. Because that could be possible for you to just live out an entire
Inception
life.
Inception really changed your life,
I think there's a game idea there.
Well, this is why
I was confused, because I was confused about what the fuck this is going to
It's going to lead into something. But so what you've got is control over your lucid dreaming. What
sometimes,
we've got is lack of control over our actual lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Chris, do you get this?
No.
No,
I've never started to pee and go, hang on a second.
What if?
Am I asleep? Or, you know, am I actually? No, I didn't. It sounds like you're having an existential crisis rather than.
I was going to say, people say you have the most creative ideas while you're like on the toilet. So
yeah, when your mind is like, completely blank.
Am I really like? Are you having like a real like? Yeah. Blowing your mind.
I'm starting
apart.
To leave.
You
my
say
body.
That. I've solved. I've woke up at like 3 a.m. and had to open my laptop and program because I've solved bugs in my dream.
Mm.
And I was so like, I need to wake up and go, right, I remember it.
Yeah. Where normally people have nighttime or shower thoughts, we have shower beliefs.
Yeah.
I'm shower agnostic.
Shower faith.
So the idea.
I'm a teapot showerist.
My idea stems from this story of being in. Or imagining that you're in two places at once.
Okay.
Potentially, it's true. So it's a puzzle game where you essentially have control over your character in their space. So it's like a room or I don't know, a hallway or a lab or something like that.
Okay.
At the same time, there's also another you in a different room that's, I guess, similar shape for the purpose of the game, who is also doing something. And every now and then you swap over. So say you've got this one character in a lab who has to complete this objective.
Yeah.
There's another you that's in a completely different place, a schoolroom, maybe a classroom.
Right.
Who is just trying to live their regular life, who is also moving around in the same way as you. So you've got kind of two games going on at the same time. But it's a puzzle game. That.
So you'll do an action in the lab and then you'll transfer to the other person and be like, I've just randomly poured my tea into the flower pot, so thinking I'm in the lab. You'd be like, what's going on?
It's kind of like those games where, they did that thing in the past, so I'm in the future. So it's like in Titanfall where you do the thing in the past,
yes,
and it changes in the future.
Sort of.
And also like that game where you're on the radio to each other and you have to.
Oh, we were here.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. But however,
they're both controlled by you.
Yeah. So
I was thinking of the first thing that came to mind when you said that was Brothers, which is the twin stick one, which I think is not what you're thinking of, but
not
that was
quite,
the one where that's just like a third person story puzzle-y
you
adventure.
Control each character with each thumbstick.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas this is, let's say it's a first person game.
Okay.
You are, I guess, in like a portal environment, in like a testing, it's a puzzle game. So I guess we'll just, right. for the basis of a puzzle game, we'll just say it's Portal.
Okay.
you are trying to just solve this puzzle in this room, and there's another you in another life in a different room that's also sort of recreating your actions. So it's like, I'm pouring some chemicals into a beaker, but then there's another you that's like, I'm spilling this water down the sink, and you've got to try and solve the puzzles
in both
environments.
They're performing the exact same actions.
Yeah, but in different scenarios. So maybe there's a part of the game where you have to kill a guy. And then you go back to the other world and it's like, you're just like drawing something on a piece of paper. You're just stabbing.
Not to reference past episodes, but that's just my feral kid again. That's just, how many times can I stab you with a paintbrush?
Possibly, yeah. But
no, but I like, do you get to choose when the swap happens or does it happen?
Maybe it starts where you have no control over it, but maybe like the late game is you gain control of it, and that's when the power is so strong in the game that it's almost like the puzzle isn't a part of it anymore. That's kind of like the end game, right? You have control over that power, so you can just swap between the two. Maybe it's like there's almost like the past and future thing. One room has a bridge that you can cross,
right?
But the other one, it's a long gap. So how do you cross it? Somehow walking across the bridge allows you to cross the gap in the alternate reality.
I see. There's something in the back of my head here that I feel like there's a game like this. Not that it already exists, but I feel like I've played something
very similar.
That should
be our motto for this podcast.
It's really...
I feel like there's a game like this.
I feel like there's one that is like Titanfall does it, where you can go back.
With the dual movements, I'm thinking
Dishonored
specifically
does it,
of like you doing something and it affecting two... controlling two different entities.
There's marble games where you have to roll the marbles around, but one gets stuck on the wall, but the other one's close to the exit, and you have to roll it the right way, but the other marble's now moving. I suppose that's like that.
So is this Marbles 2?
It's Marbles 2, this time with a whole lot of imagination.
This time it's war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So any suggestions
or
problems?
Rooted, it looked like she was going
I'm just thinking
so
ideas.
I feel like it could be, it's going to be very hard to design the puzzles that will, everything will have to be in a place that interacts with the other object.
Maybe.
So to complete the puzzle, you're completely connected, which...
Yeah, maybe they shouldn't be completely connected at all the time. Maybe there should be like an items who triggers that.
Okay.
Items who like turns that off, something like that. And then I think that probably would make it easier to give more puzzles in it. Put more puzzles in it.
That could be a good mechanic of introducing. So you have like, maybe if there are some times where you are, or some parts of the game where you're forced to do like to be able to, like, you can't toggle it off on or off basically,
right?
And some parts where you can, like with Portal, right? You have the very basic mechanic that you introduce, and then you just start layering more and more stuff on top of it.
Yeah, sure. That's... I mean, it's a puzzle game. Like, I can't pretend to say I've got all the puzzles in mind. However, this is just the concept behind it.
I like James's comment. The first thing that he thought about was, this is going to be difficult because it's going to require someone to be very clever to do it, Tom.
Okay.
Your puzzles are going to be very difficult. But if there is a bit of a disconnection there that only certain things are connected, say, I like the idea where you can make the other character walk through midair or over a pit because the other character is walking over a bridge. That kind of thing sounds quite nice. But then every single puzzle would have to be like...
That sort of thing. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Chris just had a mind explosion.
I just had like a brain fart of epic proportions. Okay. So I was trying to think of like, you want these two characters to move separately. So I think you control one at a time. I think that's the best way to do it.
Before we continue, I just want to say they're not two characters. It's one character, just in two places.
Okay, so one character can exist in that plane at a time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so originally I was thinking, maybe... in that room, the light is off, and your room, the light is on, and you want to switch that light off.
Right.
But that means their one turns on, so a new thing would happen in their
room. Oh, so the rooms affect each other?
The rooms, they might not do the same thing.
Right.
It's just that light happened to be connected. But then I thought, what if you could connect things up the way you wanted? So say, I'm going to turn this switch off, which turns the light off in my room, but does something else, which has an on-off state. Or I'm going to turn this thing, or even if I like do something... I'm going to rotate this thing 90 degrees, okay, but I'm going to link it up to another thing which I know needs to do something else, and that action has a equal but opposite reaction with that thing.
Okay, so for example, opening a door in one room would close the door in the other room.
If you had it that one-to-one, but you could then, say, connect that to a window or something.
Oh, so opening the door, closing a door opens a window.
Unless you have Router's switch where you can... then stop that.
Router switch.
Yeah, you know,
oh,
like
her
the toggle.
Ability, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, you just disconnect it. You just go, hey, this time I want to connect.
What if there's like a number of moves that you can make that your character wouldn't go mental?
Mm. So it's time based. So like you've got 2 minutes in this room, you have to do what you need to do in this room before you swap.
Yeah. Or something.
And I guess if you don't solve the puzzle in that time, then you have to, I guess you have to wait 2 minutes like before you can come back. But there's enough stuff in either room to carry on with that swapping back and forth, it doesn't really matter too much. I feel like that would make sense.
Yeah. What if it was multiplayer and that you don't, one
that's your
catchphrase. just my endless endeavor to make every game a local co-op game. What if one person... was controlling one of the characters, one person was controlling the other one. They couldn't see what each other were doing, but you just saw the instant effect of whatever they did in one of those rooms.
So that,
turning the light off would turn it off in...
That goes back to We Were Here, which is a game that exists
Is it?
Does that.
Okay, I haven't played
that. In that game...
Also, that does take away the element that was one person directly controlling two different...
Yeah, so that completely ruins the idea.
So in We Were Here...
Ignore that.
Just to recap, in We Were Here, it's a multiplayer game, two players who are in two separate parts of this dungeon, castle, thing, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they communicate with a walkie-talkie that sometimes cuts out and it's really janky, but purposely janky. And one person is like, oh, I've got a book here that has these codes in. And the other person is like, oh, cool, I can see a wall that has these numbers on them.
Gotcha.
So they have to communicate to solve the puzzle, but they never at any point interact with each other, except through the effect of each puzzle being solved. So that's We Were Here. Yeah. This is We Were Here, except it's I Am Here.
We're over there.
The thing that made me think about that was, have you ever played Day of the Tentacle? It's
yes.
An old point and clicker thing.
Yeah, the adventure game. That's like a LucasArts game, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's it. And that's got the same idea where you've got three characters and you transfer objects through time, which is time-traveling portaloo or something.
Right. Yeah.
You flush a spanner back into the past.
Yeah, because there's three characters that are in different periods. Yeah.
So the only thing I liked about that is...
The only thing.
Or what made me think about it was, is there a way for these characters to communicate? Does this one character know that he's in two... or they are in two locations? Are they aware of this situation? Are they aware that they're jumping from one to the... Do they have a memory of being in the lab and then being in this other room?
Yeah, I think so. That's what I mean. Because it's a hyperactive imagination thing, right? It's not two people in two separate places and you're swapping between people. You are one person in two places and you're swapping consciousness. Sorry, I hit the mic there. You're swapping consciousness with... between people. So oh god, my brain. I'm trying to explain it. So
it's basically like dreams.
He's bleeding from his nose.
Sorry.
It's like dreams in the real world.
Yeah. Except
it's two states of consciousness.
Two states of consciousness. You're controlling two people, but they are you in two different places.
Yeah. Ah! So to expand on that, I have an idea.
Okay.
So it's like what Ruta says with like lives or time based. So what if what if in the first room you've got 2 minutes to do your stuff that needs to be done in here,
right.
And that whatever you do in there affects that room, and so you've set up in there, your 2 minutes is up. So then you're in that room and it plays out what you've done. So do you remember that Rover game I was talking to you about? I can't remember if this was an episode we didn't put out, but there's a Rover game.
Right.
And I can't remember what it's called, but it was made in a game jam.
Oh, the Sebastian Lake.
And you program in the commands to the robot, like go forward 4 seconds, turn.
We spoke about this in John Quick.
You fail over and over again, and you do that. So what if it's like that? So you go, okay, I'm going to turn this light on for that. And I know that that is something that I need to do
right
for the first 5 seconds because it means that I have access to this thing when I'm in that room. So the puzzle aspect of it is you sort of prep everything you need to do in the first room, and then you have to remember... You get all your timings right in to do the actions in the second room.
So the 2 minutes you have in the first room, they act out as normal.
Yeah.
Then when you go into the second room,
it basically replays what you did.
You're back in the start of the 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But like you have to remember, like, oh, 30 seconds in, I turn this light on, which does this thing in this room.
Yeah.
So then you have to repeat and repeat and repeat over and over again
trying
to remember and getting the correct order. Okay.
Which
that's
I would make it an escape room.
But again, does that then affect the initial idea of it being, not that that's a problem, of it being you controlling these two entities, two versions simultaneously?
I think that restricts gameplay too much.
Okay.
It restricts the design too much, I think. Or informs the design. It just means that you have to either be clever or, you know, come up with more rules.
Think about ideas based around solely that. We need to expand it more.
Okay, so for the first time ever, we've got two divergent paths of what one do we go down? Do we go down the path where this game is you are 2 minutes in one life, then those same 2 minutes in a different room in another life, and they're both having an effect on each other? Or are you controlling the same person at the same time? Ruta, you're the deciding vote.
I don't know, I'm so confused by all of this.
Okay.
But I feel like Chris said this. Better than the second idea.
Yeah,
I feel
suck
like
it, James. Also,
fine.
Me.
That's also my idea. So more of a game mechanic is that you could say it's an escape room. You have to get out, and then we've got this extra layer on top, which is, I guess, what, a time travel element, or is it your consciousness?
Yeah, exactly. You can explain that. That could be. That's
you're
arbitrary. Manifesting
your consciousness as a second player somehow.
You can just write a shitty story to
no,
cover
but
all
I like
those
the story.
Kind of
I want, that's why I like the other idea more, because I feel like there is more lore that you could put behind that. You know, are they being experimented on? Are they trapped in their own mind? Are they going crazy?
I really like that element of it. Yeah, like, are you going crazy? And maybe you do have, like Ruta said, like some kind of sanity meter or something to keep you in check of like that. I think that's like story-wise is really interesting.
You could do everything to a metronome. Like that could be the Because that sends you crazy over time anyway. If you just heard that.
So the entire game.
Where are you hearing it? Are you hearing that in the, I don't know, some sort of doctor's office?
You don't know.
I mean, I feel like it would make a nice story point as well when you find out one of the realities is not actual. Like, obviously, one of them is false, but you can't figure out which one. Yeah. Like, towards the end of the game, you're trying to figure out which of the realities is false. But then you gain the power to swap between them at will.
And then I think you could throw in a wild card. Then all of a sudden, there's a third reality. All of a sudden, you're like, where's that come from?
Oh my God.
Is that a manifestation of your subconsciousness?
Oh, when the game ends and there's like 50 realities.
Yeah.
We're in the multiverse now, bitch.
And then you need to guess which one is the real one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're, so is it like the lucid dreaming where you have to figure out, okay, which one is actually me and how do I control? Like, these are
maybe
all
there's
dreams,
one master reality that controls all of them. And obviously,
it's like that movie. Prestige, isn't it?
The
spinning thingy.
Oh, Inception. Yeah.
It's like the dream.
Yeah, except
moving a dream.
But rather than I guess
Leonardo
levels,
DiCaprio,
they're all
isn't
happening.
It?
They're
the
all happening
level.
Simultaneously, and also not in slow motion.
And time is different.
Time is different.
Time
in
wouldn't
Inception.
Be different in hours, right? Time is different in Inception.
That's what I'm saying. Inception, time is different depending on what level you're in.
It's kind of Inception if you break a lot of rules. But yeah, there's like the master reality that is informing all the other ones.
Yeah.
So
you have to start with just the two, right? And then slowly.
I think we're spoiling the game in a way by saying one of them's not real, because I feel like at the start of the game, the idea is both of them are real. Both of them are happening regardless. But then there's hints, there's clues, like things that tick away.
Okay.
And then the third reality comes in.
Expanding
you're like, oh
on
my
that,
God.
What if at the end you have to choose which one survives?
Like
you have to sacrifice one to save the other, but you have had along the way you've got a series of clues, and you know that one of them's like a different sort of, even if it's like an imaginary state.
Yeah.
But then at the end you decide which one. And obviously, one means you die in real life. One just means you snap out of the state you're currently in.
Although, is that the illusion of choice if only one of them is the correct answer?
So I feel like we might be thinking like too big picture stuff at the moment. Maybe
we're thinking too much
on
the story.
I would like to clarify. In my head, I don't know what this looks like.
Yeah.
Like, okay, is it top down? Is it 3D? Is it isometric? Is it 2D?
I imagine more like a 2D.
Right.
Oh, really?
Because
I'm imagining a first person game.
In my head, it's like The Sims.
It's isometric.
Sims.
What's that game it's not out yet, but it's, have you guys seen it? It's the one where it's like, I can't remember what it's called. It's called like 60 Minutes or something minutes. And it's basically like a time loop. There's a guy who's like,
oh, that's made by Annapurna, who did Outer Wilds.
Yeah. And he's like, there's someone that the guy's, it's isometric. And it's like, the guy's stuck in a time loop and he has to figure out what's happened within an hour or 90 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know, his wife's died or I don't know, it's some kind of detective-y thing.
I think it's 60, I think it's 60 seconds or maybe 60 minutes, I don't know, but that many snapshots of different parts of his life. And I think you just have to solve as much as you can in the time. Obviously it's not out, so we don't really know much about the game, but
there's a lot of time loop based games going out. There's another one with who made Dishonored?
I can't remember the name.
Yeah,
Dishonored.
The studio, the guys who made Dishonored.
Solid?
Dishonored.
Oh, Dishonored.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're making a time loop game.
Okay.
They announced it last year, E3.
So, time loop games.
They're in.
They're hot right now. Except, we still haven't.
This is not that.
And also, we didn't decide on how we wanted it to look. We all just said different games.
Yeah, okay. So, in my head, we'll make a pitch. Let's all pitch each other. In my head is a first person game where you're first person just looking around the room, 3D and everything like that. And you can pick up items. It's like Amnesia or anything like that, or some kind of first person puzzle game. Portal. Yeah. Sure. And then all of a sudden your consciousness just shifts over to another room.
Right.
And it's first person in that one. So that's why I'm imagining first person. Okay. You're imagining The Sims and isometric.
I can explain mine if you want me to.
Okay.
Yeah. So imagine you're doing The Sims, you build like a simple box house, right? And you've got the walls down mode. You see like you can see the back wall, the wall in front of. So imagine there's two rooms like that. The room that you're not in is always grayed out, but you can sort of see out like a faint shadow of things in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you do what you need to do in that one. That room then goes dark. That one, like this one, the lights turn on and you can still see the faint shadow of your character reenacting stuff.
Oh, I see. So you're still on the 2 minute
Yeah, I'm on the 2-minute time loop one, but that's how I imagine. So you've got two rooms next to each other. And then obviously if you ever go to a magical third room,
yeah,
you could either go vertically or you could do more like horizontal again.
Yeah.
That's how I imagine. So you can still see what's going on, and you can still you could also do the rotation so you can see around the room.
Okay, so you've got an overview of the entire room rather than being locked to the first person, just finding stuff under things or whatever. And you had 2D router, so
I'm imagining something like Zelda Awakening, but less colorful.
Right, okay. So properly top-down 2D.
Yeah.
Okay.
Less colorful, and I imagine seeing old room, but at the same time, you see the furnitures and all the items from the another wall overlapping.
Mm.
So it's like a glitch.
Overlapping. Okay, right, interesting.
Something like that. And then if you pick up something, it glitches, like you see the glitch and you put it.
Right. Okay.
Or you see Bioshock. another not the shoes. I forgot that word. You know when you're walking and you leave the marks on the ground,
footprints.
Okay. And you see the footprints or something like that.
Okay. Oh, so now we're on our second divergent choice.
It's like much lower in color, like it's dark gray color.
Well, it's not Zelda. Okay.
So is it the still the 2-minute room thing, but instead of the outline of the character, you see the footprints of the character.
Okay, yeah. So
James,
now we're on our
same
second.
As what you were thinking though.
Well, I think either isometric or 2D could work. The reason why I think you need to see the whole room is because depending on how this goes, which divergent path we choose, I like the idea that you could see the effects in an instant of whatever's happened in the previous.
Yeah, you can't have your back to it and miss it.
You're first person and the puzzle piece is behind you. You might miss a clue if it's like, I saw all the books fall off the bookshelf.
Yeah.
You've got your back to it. You might not notice.
Okay. So I think now we're on our second. This is great because this game is all about split paths, right? And split realities and things like that. This episode is all about split realities. You just have to imagine what would happen if we went down a different path. Alex, decide. Top down, isometric, 2D. First person, sorry.
I say isometric.
Isometric.
Top down, 2D, isometric, or 2D?
So kind of Sims.
I'm thinking as in, I'm still thinking that game, the time loop game. So I'm thinking like three, like, I guess it doesn't really matter, 2D, 3D.
Just say The Sims.
Let's say...
It's The Sims. It doesn't really matter if it's like top down 2D versus 3D isometric.
It's the same thing.
But you can see the entire
top down
room.
And you get the whole game.
Versus first person. Okay, fair enough.
And so, maybe like the idea of the glitching can be another thing that's thrown in. Mm. But I feel like also you would start off with the very basic idea of the game is you're just seeing like the screen is, it's black, and then these two rooms appear that look with a split, some kind of obvious split down the middle. Maybe it's like a way out, you know, where you'd literally have a vertical line splitting down.
Yeah,
or
okay.
Maybe it's not, but maybe they're just two rooms next to each other. And then you just get these two characters that look exactly the same. You move the stick, you move the joystick or the keyboard or whatever. And they move at the exact same time.
Right, so you're on the initial idea.
Okay, hang on. We need to restart because we've got an idea.
We're stuck in an idea time loop.
We're in an idea time loop right now.
That's so hot right now.
Now we're going through the two choices that have been made. Both have been against my will, but whatever. So this game, as yet unnamed, is currently.
Yeah.
You have 2 minutes in a room.
Mm-hmm.
You do a load of actions. You look around. You don't really know where you are, and then all of a sudden, bam! You're in another room.
Mm-hmm.
Those 2 minutes of the actions that you've made are acting out without your knowledge,
mm-hmm.
but they are impacting the room that you're in. So you then start moving around. All of a sudden, the books fall off the shelves, and you're like, why'd that happen?
Well, no, you know why that happened, because you did it.
But not necessarily, because if flicking the switch in the other room
makes
the books fall off, you're kind of like, oh, okay, why'd that happen?
And eventually, over time, you get
a grip of like, this did this thing, this did that thing. So you've got an idea of how things act out.
You may continue, Tom.
Thank you. It's also... top down, isometric, doesn't really matter. You can see the entire room.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the game is now. Now, let's press forward.
So
maybe we'll get to a third divergent path.
I feel like both of those things can exist in this game, right?
Well, they can, because we said they did.
But that's how you start. You start off with a very simple version of the simplest version of it, which is the initial idea, which is just you're moving, you have vision of the rooms at the same time, and you're moving the characters at the same time.
No, I don't think you do have vision of the same room.
Well, but if you start off at the beginning, that's the very first thing. But then afterwards, there could be later on, there could be like you could introduce a divergent path, another mechanic where you don't have vision.
No, I don't think you should start with vision, because no vision. If you're in the first room mm-hmm. and you see a character just stood there in the other room not doing anything because their 2-minute loop hasn't started yet, and you flick a switch and you see the books fall in the other room, you've immediately solved the puzzle.
You've
right?
solved that.
No, but no loop.
But then no.
We had a vote. The loop.
Router decided.
We had a vote on the loop. Alex.
But the loop
they're
is
so hot right now.
No, but they can be both. That's what I mean. I think they can both exist. Like the loop can
You can't
be,
have a loop and a double movement.
The loop can be
Then you've got four characters, and then by extension, you're breaking time.
No.
Do you want that? Are you trying to break time, Alex?
That's just how the games start. The game starts without the loop, but then the loop can be one of
no,
the
mechanics.
Alex, feature creep Turner's back
no,
at it.
We had a vote, Alex, and we've decided. And okay, by right, we, okay. I mean Router decided against me. I wish I was with you, Alex. I do. But the vote was cast.
All right, okay.
The 2D aspects of it, when Router was describing like the aesthetics, it did remind me of, and in when I said about the metronome, it did remind me of like Crypt of the Necrodancer. Where everything is to a beat.
Can you explain that?
So Crypt of the Necrodancer is where it's like a dungeon crawler, but everything is done to the rhythm of the music you're playing. So
yeah,
everything
it's amazing. So you have to like move to the beat. So if the beat is just dun 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 dun, you have to move, attack, loot, move,
yeah,
move,
right,
attack,
okay.
loot, and things like that. And it's awesome. But all the enemies also move on the beat, and you can also skip beats, and it ruins like a combo counter and stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's kind of like that. In that you have your time frame,
but it's internal. You have to do it yourself. It's not.
Yeah,
part
there's
of the
no
mechanic.
There's no beat there's or no... anything. You're just constrained by the time until the switch. When you start the game, you don't even know there's a switch. As far as you're concerned, you're just in a room solving a puzzle, and then suddenly, boom, you're in another room. And it's like, okay, all right. I guess now I'll solve this puzzle, and then bam, you're back in the first room. And you're like, wait, hang on. But what do I do now?
I do really like that as well. Yeah, I think that's I think that totally can work. I really like the other idea as well.
Well, that's the divergent path.
You see, I know, not like I know we went down this route.
Yeah,
I never got on board with the moving them both at the same time.
Yeah, really. I think it's a lot more unique having the 2-minute loop. So that's what the game is now.
And also, like you're saying, like loops are quite popular at the moment, right? That's
loops are super hot right now, apparently. Yeah. After Outer Wilds, so that's now that we're on this idea, uh-huh. has anyone got any hot new ideas of how to make this game? Boom.
Wow, okay. Well, I mean, depends on what route you want to take. I don't know if we didn't really decide on 2D, 3D. We just said top-down isometric.
It doesn't make a difference.
Like, you're top-down, that's the thing, right?
I think it could. Isometric isn't necessarily.
Yeah, but I don't think it matters. The purpose of both is that you can see the entire room.
Yeah, but the art style can very much influence the mechanics and how you represent those.
What am I, Ruther? I don't care about the art style.
And James. And I'm there too.
James is sitting in the corner.
Like, the way certain things behave, like there's a cupboard, right? Well, how do you see in that cupboard? Like, do you have a shader where if you open the door, it goes slightly see-through and you can see objects inside? Or does the sprite disappear? The interaction within it is a major component.
Alex, it sounds like they're talking about them problems and not us.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I'm still trying to think of a name as well.
No, I guess you can avoid those things like opening the cupboard and stuff. Like, you can put on the top, or like there's always options. But
and yeah. So do both worlds look the same? Was one like real world looking?
You can looking, have like a
one
room's
like high bloom geometry.
Oh my god! This is the real world in the upside down, isn't it? It's the Stranger Things.
Well, no, but it's more because there are more upside downs.
I don't think you want to be that clear cut though, because you don't want it to be. That's clearly not the reality.
Yeah. Well, what if you were to start off with like it's very obvious? Not obvious, but you make it like just. That it just looks like two different places, normal life, everyday places, whatever, two apartments or a lab and a school and a classroom.
I feel like a lab and a classroom works because you've got like the counters, and then you've got the classroom tables, and they could be in the identical places, so you can sort of
but then
still
perhaps,
move in the same way.
Like later on, you introduce another room, which is a little bit weird. Like there's some, like maybe some things are glitching out, or some things are upside down, or some weird things, and you think, hang on, so is this not real? But then back into the other room, you introduce some other things that are then weird again. So you start to
question both realities.
Yeah. But like going back to the art style, though. So you, Ruta, you sort of see it as just 2D.
No, if you talk about like Zelda Awakening, it's not true that 2D, isn't it?
Oh, you mean the new one?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, okay. I thought you meant the original.
No,
right.
The,
okay.
The new
okay.
One.
Now, the new one's.
So it's not really 2D.
Cute little blobby boys.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is closer to what you were thinking, James?
It's quite like Sims, isn't it?
It's just little.
Yeah.
Tiny little sim boys. Little,
yeah.
Little round little boy.
Round soft boy. So if you say Sims, then that's the thing that's the page we can all be on, right? Like,
I feel like that's fairly close, yeah. Okay. I don't think it would look exactly
the same, yeah.
But I think that idea of a character being able to move freely, I don't think it should be like locked to a grid or anything like that.
Sure.
No.
I think isometric, some people, you know, you think, oh,
no, that's
so
why
great,
I said,
it's not
that's why I said Sims, because I thought it was the easiest way to.
Yeah, I think it's also in those 2 minutes, you're able to move around freely and do whatever you want. You're not like locked to the beat, like in Crypto Necrodancer or anything like that. It's just you're in this room, you explore it.
Point and click?
Yeah, I suppose it could be like
like sim style menus. If you click on a thing, it'd be like inspect.
I was thinking thumbsticks. I was thinking like moving around with thumbsticks.
Oh, Alex, what is it with you today? You just there's four of us, and then there's one of you in the corner.
I feel
I think it could
the minority is always the loudest.
I feel like it could also, if it is a point and click, where if you right click on the door, for example, you have multiple options as well. You can push the door and it will open. You can kick the door and it will do something else.
Yeah, like if it's contextual.
Sniff the door.
So, yeah, if you're sniff. Yeah, so if you're using the left thumbstick to move, you walk up to it, hold left trigger, right trigger, or whatever, and then you get a context menu.
This chump.
And then you just move through the list.
I think we're focusing on a lot of irrelevance where it's like, you know, is it top down? You can see the entire room. Like, it doesn't really
matter.
What
color would the table be?
Are you controlling it with thumbsticks? Like, it doesn't matter. Like,
this is good because it shows that we're like quite interested in the game idea because we're getting excited by the minutiae.
No, the reason I brought this up is because I listened to the past episodes, and for a game design podcast, we don't talk about any game design.
let's not kid ourselves. This isn't a game design.
I know, but we pitch ideas and we come up with these like ethereal whispers. We're like, oh, what about cards? And you're like, okay, yeah, great.
Hey, look, someone made John Quick Card Slinger.
Okay,
so we
but that people understand how cards work. If you go, what if you picked up a kettle and then in the other world a Bunsen burner blew up, and you're like, how does that work? Like, you have to think about the interaction.
Is you interact with it.
What does that mean? I'm interacting with this. I'm just not, if
you
I
just
throw
say,
it,
you just say, I
this
do. That's how game, that's how you make a game, right? You just say, you just write in the code, do,
yes.
And it does.
No, it's a /make
that's
game.
That's an argument. Me too.
Yeah, me and Tom are going to hash this out later.
I fair enough. I just mean like thumbsticks, sure. You control it with that. It's portable to Xbox now. It's also a text adventure. Also, there's cards now.
But okay, so we're starting off with the very basic idea is the 2 minute loop. You're in one room, you do something, and then you get 2 minutes in the next room where those effects play out
in real time.
And you have to complete the second puzzle while you're suffering the effects of the first puzzle.
Yeah, there's negative and positive effects of either room. So, like, turning on a light switch.
It's finding out the perfect pattern.
Okay.
Yeah.
Through repetition.
So, Tom, give us an example of that.
Okay, so if we have both rooms being one the classroom and one the lab.
Okay.
In the lab, for example, you could... I don't think they need to be one-to-one, the effects. So, like, if you... turn on a Bunsen burner in the lab, it will...
boil a kettle.
No, I don't think it needs to be one-to-one. I mean, if you turn it on there, then you, in the other room, maybe a window opens.
Okay.
Or if you turn on the light switch in the classroom, the computer turns on in the other room.
Is that immediately
obvious,
though, like that you have agency on the other... If it's not one-to-one, does that get confusing?
No, because you remember the order you did things. So if you see something change, because you can see everything, you go, okay, nothing else has happened yet. That must be that.
Yeah.
And so then you can either go back and double-check next time you do your next loop. You can be like,
it depends on the loop, though. If it's a two-minute loop and you only do one thing, imagine how many actions you can perform in 2 minutes and then go, what did I just do?
Well, I think that's the beauty of the start of the game, though, right? Like, if you start the game in the classroom and you just start interacting with everything, you're like, okay, I'll turn the light switch on, I'll turn the computer on, I'll do this. And then you get to the other room and stuff just starts going crazy.
Okay.
And you're just like, wait,
why
is this
happening? When I said that there's limited actions, maybe there's that's what I... Like, you have, like, 20 actions. And if you start doing everything, like, just trashing the room, your character starts going then mental. He's like, it's not right. Something's not right. It's everything is different. He starts realizing that something is bad.
Yeah, so it's not, if it's not constrained to a 2-minute loop, so it's like, constrained to actions.
Well, you can do
it could both.
It I've used my actions or very hard. When you're done with the amount of actions you want to do that loop, you can end that loop. Yeah. Right? So in the next one.
Could you have maybe an option if it's too difficult? I don't know if this is, I guess we would only know if we could actually play test it, which we can't, but because it will never get made. But but
will it?
Like Ruta's suggestion about having the overlay, the glitch thing, maybe not permanently, but if, for example, there was a button to be like, okay, I want my previous loop to overlay over the current one.
And you have
a timer of how long you can use that for.
For me, that would be difficult.
1 second.
Yeah, if you're playing on easy baby mode, then you can have that. Because I think if you just immediately reveal, I know what he's going to do next because I can see it, then it's just like, there's no puzzle anymore, right?
Well, yeah, but you're only allowed to use that for like you have a 2-second pool of time that you can use, that you can have that up for.
So whilst you hold the button, it shows.
There's one particular moment where you're like, fuck, I really can't remember what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I guess
now.
So, but I don't think it's too much to ask of a player to remember 2 minutes.
I think the only problem is with that is...
I'm not sure about that.
Really?
Like, could it get frustrating if you...
I guess people start filming that. Sorry.
No, sorry, go on.
It's true.
I mean, like, people would just start recording with their phones what's happening.
I mean, there's definitely
true,
exploits
yeah,
and
yeah,
cheats.
It'd be quite easy
to
cheat over it, yeah.
But
yeah.
If you want to cheat through a puzzle game, then who are you cheating, really? Yourself.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, could it get frustrating that, like, if you mess up one thing at the wrong time, like 1 minute 58 seconds in, do you then have to reset the loop, or does that make it addictive actually?
I think it depends. I think there's another scenario I was imagining where maybe...
Hang on, before
there's...
you get rooted, just had an idea that seemed to be related.
What
to...
if you need to find specific item in your room and then you get that ability? So it's like a coins in the game or like extra items. It's something you get and you can use it, but then that's it.
So there's like a button you can press that just bam, switch or restart or whatever.
I think it's like you said at the beginning, it's looking for the phone with the wrong color screen.
Yeah.
It's like you find those clues throughout that level, which triggers the transition to the other room, or and then you go, okay, so that object is what swapped the realities. So I need to find the corresponding object in this reality, which switches me back.
Yeah.
And then you can keep making those connections between objects.
But then...
So it's like a time loop escape room detective game.
Yeah.
You've got to figure out, why am I in here?
In my head, I'm also imagining like a separate level 2, sure.
Yeah.
Is where one room has a moving platform that's going back and forth. But when you're doing the actions in the other room to solve the puzzle, you also have to keep in mind, oh, it took me like 5 seconds to cross this platform. Also, I need to make sure the platform is there in the right time. I need to give myself enough time in the other room before I do these actions in this room. So,
oh, I see.
So there's also consideration of, you can make the game easier or harder for yourself by just saying like, okay, I'll give myself 10 seconds, but I've only got 2 minutes. So maybe I'll give myself 7 seconds.
Yeah.
And then in the other room, you're like, okay, in 7 seconds, he's going to do this thing. I need to get there quickly.
Okay.
But that's where I think a soundtrack with perfect BPM that could just...
Oh, so that's what if it's, how people are keeping track.
Yeah. What if it's diegetic? What if there literally is the one item that appears in every room is a metronome?
But I feel like a metronome could get very annoying very quickly. But
maybe it could make different noises,
I feel like,
depending on the room.
If you had a track, you could always be like, oh, that drum beat is going to start in a second.
I picked up the pencil when the bass dropped.
Yeah.
You know? I really like that idea.
Yeah.
I really like that
could... That's a good way of keeping
track.
There's
an upper limit of... There's a 2-minute looping track and you've got to time your actions to the beats or the different elements.
Oh, I suppose that's also... Outer Wilds does that as well. Like at the end... I won't spoil it, but in the end of a loop, there's a particular track that plays in Outer Wilds.
Oh,
so you and
great.
It's
you
like
just spoiled.
And it's this particular track that plays at the end of the loop that you can hear. And once you start hearing that in every future loop, you're like, oh, dun. Okay, yeah, it's beautiful. But yeah, it plays at the end of every loop, and you know that the loop is about to restart.
Yeah.
So yeah, Outer Wilds does that with music as well.
The music would get more complicated the more that you played the game, because there'd be more elements introduced over time.
Yeah.
And maybe that's in tandem with your sanity meter going up or something. I don't
but
know.
Also,
like getting crazy jazz towards the end.
Sorry, there is a game called Vectronom, which just came out. I was looking for the name of it.
Vectronom. Right.
Which just came out, which is a puzzle game where things change on the beat. Right. So it'll be like dun 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 dun. So you know that everything's going to change, and or it'll be like dun dun dun. And on the upbeat, that block will appear, and you need to remember like. And you,
oh, you remember through the music.
You remember through the music when things change.
I think that's cool, but in terms of this one, you're just using the music as a timer instead of having a clock at the bottom of the screen that says 2 minutes.
Oh yeah, I agree with that. I was just I was going mad trying to remember what that name of the game was.
Okay,
and I had to tell someone once I figured it out.
I feel like we could probably talk about this game for the rest of the day because it genuinely is quite exciting. But I think we need to start wrapping it up. So could you give
us... Okay, so this game, which is currently still, for the first time ever, unnamed.
I'm thinking.
Let's think. It's like Outer Wilds. It's like that 60-second game by Annapurna. Annapurna. Annapurna Banana. Banana.
He's wow. Bleeding from the nose again.
It's alternate realities, one life, two lives.
Mind splitters.
Mind splitters.
I was trying to come up with a pun. I had
remember.
But can we introduce a celebrity in here really quickly? Derek Acora's Mind Splitters. Yes.
Chris Nolan.
No, Derek Acora's Mind Splitters.
Is it real?
Derek Acora?
Is it real? Just that?
You mean as a title?
I was like, I was thinking about it.
Oh, is it real?
I think you're having your own mind splitters.
Yeah. Is it real? I quite like that. That's quite nice. Like,
with Derek Acora.
With Derek Acora.
Derek Acora's Is It Real?
Reality splitter.
Open the door. I can see him coming. Flick that switch.
What's the one video where he's like,
I love Mary dick. Loves dick.
Mary loves dick.
Mary loves dick.
Anyway, okay.
No fucks. I'm going to send you this video.
Derek Acora is a ghost hunter.
Okay.
That's all you need to know. Anyway, so... time mind splitter reality splitter
mind splitter colon parenthesis
Derek Acora story
is it real
yeah okay mind splitters
Derek Acora story
mind splitters colon is it real
okay
is a game in which it's a puzzle game in
you
which
play
you...
Derek Acora
no you don't
stop it
you're on no. You're on both realms you're Chris, in the spiritual realm
Chris we're doing the outro
sorry
mind splitters colon is it real is a game is a puzzle game in which you have a 2 minute loop in a room. The things that you activate, then at the end of your loop you're transported to another room, which you see the effects of the other room play out, but they're not one-to-one. It's a puzzle game in which you have to solve both rooms while also suffering the effects and benefits of either room. Why are you laughing? What's funny?
He's thinking about Derek Cook.
Derek Acora.
Okay. Yeah, and I was drinking and it really, really fucked me.
Okay, Chris.
Would you make it and would you play it?
I mean, I'd play it. I think I would make it.
Okay. That's perfect.
Yeah. I don't know why I sounded like I was going to say more, but I really had nothing else to say.
You would make it. It would just take, I think a lot of the trouble is coming up with puzzles, right?
Yes.
The struggle.
Also, we should not let Chris make it because he's going to put Derek Acora
in. Oh, there's going to be a Derek Acora Easter egg in there.
The music. Oh, that's the other thing is that it's also... there's no timer. It's just there's a music track that you can listen to.
I really wish we had more time to talk because I feel like that is a massive mechanic we've just stumbled upon in the last couple of minutes.
It's much more than the music is just an indication of time.
And Alex, you've hit the nail on the head there. You wish you had more time.
Yeah.
If only you could loop.
Yeah, you're right.
If only you could loop. Anyway,
Ruta,
would you make it? Would you play it?
I think I definitely would make it. To be honest, I'm an artist, so like I can make whatever games.
You draw it.
Yeah, I'm just drawing them.
Oh, okay.
Would I play it? I don't know, 50-50, maybe?
What?
But I not sure. I'm not really in the puzzle games, and I don't have patience with that. So I'm like,
fair enough.
After 5 minutes, I would be angry sitting in the corner screaming on someone, and that's
fair enough, okay. But do you think it's cool, at least?
Yeah. I think, yeah, it's pretty cool. Okay. I can't imagine it, and I feel like it would be quite interesting.
Perfect.
If you can imagine it, I think that's a good sign.
That's a good start. And James?
Would play, would make, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit. Is this the most successful?
I will, caveat to mine, I would play it, but not for very long, because I do get frustrated at puzzle games, because I sometimes forget why I walk into a room.
But you think it's cool.
Yeah.
Which is the whole point of the beginning.
Yeah.
James, it sounded like you had a caveat.
I was going to say, I mean, Josh and I have got aspirations of potentially making a puzzle game at one
Bam.
Point. So
okay,
you're this welcome. Game,
but I don't think we'd make this.
What?
Because it's not cool. Local not multiplayer.
But okay.
If we could introduce those elements, it's a definite would make.
I mean, if you introduce
I'm not going to do that now in the outro.
If you introduce local multiplayer, it's not the game that we're making.
No. That's fine. We can talk about that. That's going to be that's a further meeting.
But we'll still take our cut. I can really imagine.
Sorry, this.
We'll still take our cut.
Cut. You say cut.
All right.
What did you think of?
Thank you.
This is not the idea I initially came up with.
Thank you, Chris Ruta and James. As always, Tom.
Thank you, Alex.
You are more than welcome.
Thank you so much.
We've never thanked you. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
That's true. I'm
Alex loves dick.
Thank
you. And that's the end.
Goodbye.
I like that.
What the fuck?